Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Dafyomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bavavatra Daf Kuf Mem Chet Amud Aleph, continuing on our discussion of Matlek Shchimira with a slight detour right now. And there's Machlok Rishonim, as I mentioned at the end of the previous podcast, whether this first piece is about Matnat Shchimira or about a regular gift. The Rashbam raises both possibilities. He quotes the first possibility, prefers the second. He prefers the first. Deka lachad uperotav leacher. If the guy sells a tree to one person and then sells the fruit of the tree to the other, mahu, meaning mishir makom pere oloshir. When he sold the tree, did he leave room over to sell the fruit to another, or when he sold the tree, is it all gone? Now, if you want to argue that when he sold the tree, there is no room to sell the fruit to another, what if he sold the tree to somebody else to keep the fruit for himself? So Rav Nachman said, even if you want to argue that when he sells the tree to one and the fruit to another, he did not leave room to another person to get the fruit, nonetheless, but if he sold the tree and kept the fruit, meaning when he sold the tree, the way that he set it up was that the fruit of the tree would be his, perhaps the fruit that's on the tree right now, however it works, then he certainly did leave room. Why? My taima? Meaning, however you would decide on the question of two different people, when it's one person and then the fruit is for yourself, you certainly keep it. Call the gabinav shivayin yach from yishayir. Whenever you're keeping it for yourself, you're doing so generously. So when you sold the tree and you said, I'm selling the tree minus the fruit, which I'm keeping for myself, that certainly the intention was that the original sale of the tree was only for the tree itself as a right, as land, whatever it may be, but not for the fruit. We learn that same concept of that quote as a comment on Rishon Ben Lakish's statement. Rishon Lakish, somebody sells a house, that takes us back to the fourth parak. He said, on condition that the upper story is mine. It works. So now we're going to see Rishon Ben Lakish's statement starts from the opposite position. Not when you're selling one to one and the other part to another person, but rather when you're selling one part to a person and keeping the other part for yourself. So then, Ibayelu, the question was asked, what if you sell the house to one person? Is there room to sell the upper balcony to another person? If you argue that selling the house to one does not leave you room to sell the upper balcony to another, what if you sold the house minus the balcony and you keep it for yourself? And there we go. Same argument that if you sold the house and then intended to sell the upper balcony to another person, that doesn't work. Even if you say that, nonetheless, if you sold the house minus the balcony and keep it for yourself, that works. Same reason, when you're leaving it for yourself, you're leaving it generously. So according to Rav Zvid, and then this machloket, Rav Zvid's position in Habochet Abayit, that when you sell a house, you still have the right. The person who has the right upstairs has the right to, who owns the upstairs balcony, has the right to put out beams from that area. So in that case, you, the owner, could put out the beams because you own the upper story. So what do you see? The fact that when you sold the house and you did not sell the upper balcony, you also left room to put out the zizin. Same thing, you also left room for the fruit in our original case. Okay, so Rav Nachman's statement may have been about the balcony or it may have been about the fruit. Either way, we apply it in both cases. I'm Rav Yosef Menumi, I'm Rav Nachman, another halacha of Rav Nachman, and now back to Shchimira. Shchimira shekatav kol nechasal b'acherin ro'in. We have to see how he divided it up. Im b'mechalek, if he was saying, okay, I'm dividing up my property five ways. One fifth goes to this friend, a quarter goes to that guy, a sixth goes to this guy, I'm always dividing it up. then meis kanu kulan. If the guy dies, all the gifts are good. Amad, remember the deal in our Mishnah that if a shchimira gives everything to others and he gets better, the whole gift comes back. So if he divvied it up to others and it was clearly dividing it, then when if he gets better, he can take it all back. Amad chozer b'chulan. But im v'nimlach, if he seems to have changed his mind, like he said, I'm going to give it to Ploni, you know, and then he said, you know what, no, a quarter of it I'll give to Ploni, to Almoni, so in other words, he's changing his mind, then meit kanukulan. Of course, if he died, the gifts are all good. Amad eno chozer ala b'acharon. If he recovers, he can only take back the last gift. Why? Because based on Nimlach, what happened was he originally gave it all to one person. Then he changed his mind and gave some of it to another person, which means it's only that last person who's really the one who's making it that he has nothing left. So it seems like he changed his mind. Originally he thought to keep some, and then he finally gave it away. So therefore, it's only the last gift that can come back because it's only the last one that made him penniless without it, which indicates that that gift wasn't based on him thinking he was going to die. Well, who says? Maybe he was just considering it and thinking whether I should give it this way or that way and then deciding who to give it to. The answer is, the normal case is that he plans it out first and then gives it. So if in the middle he kind of changes his mind, that's not that he's considering who to give it to, he's changing his mind about whether to give some of it away or all of it away. At the last minute, he changed his mind to give it all away, so it's on that last gift that would then be retracted were he to get better. Very odd. Our Mishnah said that if the Shchimira gave everything away and then he recovers, he gets it back. Rav Nachman says he doesn't. Because we're concerned, maybe he has property somewhere else and therefore he really didn't give it all away. But our Mishnah says the opposite. The answer is, so Rav Chama says that our Mishnah may be a case where you didn't say this land, this land, this land, but you said kol nechasai. Therefore, wherever you own land, it's given away to this guy, and therefore there is nothing left. Ravashi says, if we happen to know that you have nothing else, we know for a fact that you've got these three properties, and you give these three properties away, there's nothing to worry that you may have property somewhere else. But if we don't know what your property is, and all the property that's currently we're aware of, which is in front of you, you give away, but you name it, then it may be that you have property elsewhere that you didn't mention, so therefore we're not going to take the gift away from these guys just because you got better. Okay. Ibayalu, Chazar b'miktachav v'chazar b'chula olo. Let's say a guy gives his property away, and then he recants on one of the pieces of the gift. Does that recant the entire gift? Can a shchimira change his mind, and changing his mind about part of it, if he gave it all away, retract the whole thing? Toshma. Kulan l'rishon l'mitzatan l'sheni. Let's say he gave everything away to one guy, and then he gave away part of it, which it indicates some sort of a chazara, to a second guy. Sheni kana, rishon lo kana. So what that means is that he's canceled the entire gift of the first guy, and so he gets nothing. And only the second guy gets the part that he gave because he said, I'm giving all my property to Ploni. And then he said, I'm giving a quarter of my property to Almoni. That means he retracted the entire gift to Ploni. So my love, Bishamate, aren't we talking about a case where he died afterwards and therefore you see that Chazar b'miktan ha'vichazar b'chulo. No, Bishamat, it's a case where he got better. Since he got better, the gift to the first guy has to be retracted because it was a gift of everything. And so the gift to the second guy works. And by the way, you have to say it's a case where he got better. Why? I mean, Iktani Seifa, the second half of that bright day is, let's say he gave part of his property away to one guy, and then gave everything away to another guy. Rishon Kana, Sheni Lo Kana. The first guy gets it because he got part. The second guy doesn't get it because he gave it all. Now, it must be a case where the guy got better. That's why the second guy didn't get it. Because when you give everything away and then get better, you get it back. So it must be that that's why the first guy got it. So our case must be Bishamad, which means that we have proven nothing about Chazar b'miktat, because Chazar b'miktat is only a question when you die. Now, Amar le'Rav Yehem Rav Ashi, he says, It could even be a case where you got better. What's that going to help? We still have to take the position that recanting part of it is a full revocation. That's why in the first case, the second guy got something. But if you say that recanting a part of it doesn't recant on the whole thing, then what you got is basically a guy divvying the whole thing up. And therefore, neither one of them should get it. Because in a case of mechalek, meaning that if we say that the first guy, when you say chazar b'miktzat, if you say it's lo havi chazara, so that means that when you said I'm giving it all to Joe, and then you say I'm giving a third to Mike, then that means that when you said I'm giving a third to Mike, all you've done is back away and left two-thirds for Joe. If you say the two-thirds stands for Joe, then that's basically the mechalek. You've divided up two-thirds to Joe, one-third to Mike, and then when you get better, it should all come back anyways. And we said that sheni kana. So it has to be, so even if it's a case, it could be a case of amad or mate, either way you got the same problem unless you agree that chazar b'miktzat is a full chazar and rishon is out. The hilchata, what's the halacha? Chazara b'miktzat ha'vechazar b'chula. Indeed, recanting part means recanting the whole thing. Reisha b'shkachat lav enshameh ben shamad. And in the reisha, that in rule could be inferred from, and therefore the case could stand, as whether or not the guy died or got better. Seifa l'mishkachat lav enshameh. But the seifa, indeed, when he gave part, first he gave a third to Joe, then he gave the whole thing to Mike, will only work when amad, because if mate, indeed, the whole thing should go to Mike because he recanted on the part he gave to the first fellow. Okay, what if instead of giving his gift away, he was makdish everything he owned, and then he got better? Can he take it back? Is the hekdesh invalid now? Do we regard it like a gift? Me, I'm going to call it gabe hekdesh gavra makdish. Do we say that whenever he gives him the hekdesh, you give it with a full intent, and not having any mind of taking it back, even if you get better, is it a full gift? Because we know with the matnat chimira, we assess it to be a conditional gift, conditional on actually going through and dying. Or it could be that nothing that you give, whether it's a hekdesh or a gift or anything, when it comes to getting it back yourself, if you get better, maybe that's never a full gemirut dat, because you're only doing it because you're going to die. Hifkir kol nechasav ma, what if you were mafkir it? Mi amrin kevin da afa anim v'kashirim na'emra makri. Here, you're giving away to everybody and making it available to anim and ashirim, therefore you're really giving it away fully. The same possibility that whenever it's a question of owning it yourself, you never fully give it away, except here because you thought you were going to die. Chilek kol nechasav la'anim, what if you gave everything away to tzedakah? My. Here we could argue, certainly when you give tzedakah, you intend to get for the anim to get benefit no matter what. The same possibility. The answer to all three of them is teiku. We have a different version of this question, which compacts them. In other words, there are just simply three questions asked without bringing the two lemmas of each question. That it may be that in this case you really do it with a full heart, unlike a regular gift to a citizen, or that any time it's a question of the possibility of you recovering and being penniless, that you never really fully give it away.
That ends with Teiku, again, as we had it earlier. In the next piece, I'm Rav Sheshet. Now we deal with different verbiages or wordings and see whether or not they are considered to be a proper matnat shchiv mirah. Of course, yitain would be proper. Yitol, he shall take. I'm Rav Sheshet. Yitol, v'yizke, he should acquire. V'yachzik, he should take possession. V'yikne, he should acquire. Kulan lashon matanayin, also all work as matnat shchiv mirah. Manita tana af yachasin v'yirat, which are two words of inheritance, meaning inheritance in Aramaic, barwili or show, only work if the fellow you're giving to is someone who is otherwise an heir, a first station heir, which means if you have sons, he's one of your sons, if you have no sons, one of your daughters, etc. Rabbi Yochanan Brukahi, and it only follows Rabbi Yochanan Brukahi, who says that a person could, as we saw earlier, a person could designate his entire Yerusha to one of the first level heirs. Yibayalu, now the question is asked, Yehaneh Bahen Mahu, and this reminds us of the first parak of Kiddushin. We have all sorts of different terms and whether they're valid for Kiddushin. Here the first one said, Yehaneh Bahen, and the problem of course is that he then passed away and we can't really ask him. And so when he said, Plony should benefit from my property, Mahi. So they have a kulu matanakamar, does it mean to give it all away as a gift? So Dilma Litani Minayu Midikamar, does it mean he should get something from it, which means the smallest amount possible. Yera Ebahen Mahu, he should be seen in my property. Yamod Bahen Mahu, he should be able to stay in my property, or stand in my property. Yishain Bahen Mahu, or he should be able to lean in my property. And the answer to all of these is Teku, which would mean then we would assume that that we would go with the Cheskat Mamon as belonging to the Yorshim, and the intended recipient wouldn't get more than the minimum amount or anything. So now remember that the rule in our Mishnah is if you give everything away and then get better, you get it back. What happens if you sell everything? Even if you got better, you cannot take it back. And sometimes Rav Yehuda quoted Rav as saying the opposite, that if you get better, you can get back, take it back. It depends if the seller, the Shchimira, who got better, still has the money. So if he sold it in order to pay a debt, and therefore as soon as he got the money from the buyer, he gave the money away, he gave the money to whoever he owed it to, then the sale is valid and he can't take it back. If, on the other hand, he's still holding on to the money, then evidently he sold it because he thought he was going to die, and he has the ability to force it a buyback, just like with a gift. So that's the resolution to the two contradictory versions of Rav. Ibayalu, Shchimira Shehoda Mahu. What if a Shchimira on his deathbed is moda to a chov? Toshma, so we have a story. The Easter Giora. Easter Giora was the fellow who had relations with Rachel, Shmuel's daughter, and then converted. And his son, which is critical, or of Mary, is not his son halachically. So now, how about the trace of Zuzei Bei Rava? He had 12,000 zoos that were being held by Rava. Rav Mari Bray, so Rav Mari, who was his son, but not his halachic son, Horatosh Lobik Tusha, Tobik Tusha Havei, and just to clarify, he was conceived Shalobik Tusha, meaning that Isio Giora was not yet a ger when he had relations with Rachel. That's the name that we assume for Shmuel's daughter that we have in some of the sources. But he was born already as a Jew. Uve Rav Havi, he was in the yeshiva. Amar Rav, Hechi Nikninu Rav Mari Lahani Zuzi. So Rav is saying, Rav Isi Giora wanted to get the money to his son. So Rav said, how's he going to do it? Ibi Yerusha, he can't inherit it. La Bar Yerusha, he's not an heir. Ibi Matana, if Isi Giora wants to give it as a gift, Manat Shchimira Kirusha Shavu Arba. He says that Manat Shchimira follows the same contours as Yerusha, which means Kol Hecha Di Ite Birusha Ite Matana. Somebody who has an heir can then give it as a matana. But here we have something odd that as a result of Yisugura not having anybody in Yerusha, therefore he cannot do Manat Shchimira. Okay, Ibn Mishicha, if Isigura directs Rav Mari to go pick up the coins and nikona them, Leitanu Gabe, he's not here, he's somewhere else. Meaning Rav Mari. If you want to nikona b'chalifin, in mapeh nikna b'chalifin. You cannot acquire coins with chalipin, meaning in absentia with a symbolic kinyan. I agav karka, if Isir Giora wants to grant as a straight out gift this money to Rav Mari as a kinyan agav, meaning with karka, to late leara. So the reality is that Isir Giora doesn't have any land. Even Mamad Shloshtan, if he wants to do a Mamad Shloshtan, where he'll summon me, I'm the one who's holding the money, and Rav Mari, and together he'll hand it over, Ishalach li lo azilna, I won't go. Rav was trying to keep the money. So Makrav Ika Bered Rav Ami. So he's answering on my, Velodi Isu Dahalein Zuzi to Rav Mari Ninu. Why can't Isu Giora be mowed down his deathbed that it really belongs to Rav Mari? He could say that. like Dina Bodita, and then Rav Mari takes possession by the Hoda'ah. And indeed, Adahachin Alfakudita Meisur. At that point, they heard that Isagira on his deathbed was Moda, I really owe this money to Rav Mari. He could say whatever he wants. And as a result, Rav Mari got it, which means, by the way, Hoda'at Shchimira does work. Ikpad Rava Amar Kamagamre Tanata the Inshi Mafsidili. People are coaching other people how to make claims, and I lose as a result. So he was upset about that. Okay, with that, we'll pick it up in the next podcast on the top of Kuf Mem Tet. I would bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.